Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Data and Metrics for Policymaking Working Group call on the 22nd of September, 2015. On the call today, we have Sarah Bakke, Sam Little, Jonathan Zuck, Tony Honorato, Marinelle Rosca, Cheryl Langdon Orr, and Graham Bunton. I show no apologies listed for today's conference. From staff, we have Barry Cobb, Steve Chan, Natalie Pearson, and myself, Harry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Jonathan. And Jonathan, this is Terry. If you are speaking, I believe you are muted and we're unable to hear you.
This is Barry Cobb for the record. It looks like Jonathan's audio is, or his mic is on the fritz. So we'll go ahead and kick things off.
Can hear you now.
Oh. Yes, we can hear you now, Jonathan.
All right, good. I couldn't hear you for a while. I don't know what happened. It just sort of cut out. I guess I'll just ask if there's anybody, any other statements of interest that anyone has to make an update on. For the record, and otherwise I'll pass it back to you, Barry, to get us picked up from where we left off on the last call.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan. So welcome, everyone. From the previous call, we made it through the first 14 comments of the public comment review tool. For those that have had a chance to look through it, we put together first draft responses from the working group for each one of the individual comments. And based on the group's deliberations, if there was any possible pending actions to be taken in terms of updating the report or revising the recommendations, have been highlighted with a call out comment over to the side, mostly meant just as a flag for once we complete the review of the comments and then we return our attention back to the final report. We'll have those easily highlighted so that we can all take a look at them and complete the work for its eventual submission to the GNSO Council. On the last call, we stopped at comment number 14, which was a comment from the registrars. I think in general we had an overall action item for Graham from the registrars to just take a look at Section 5. That focused on the principles. We haven't seen anything on the list. I suspect that he's still working on that. But I wasn't really going to spend time going back through any of the draft responses, and I'll just ask members of the group to take a look through those, and if you think that staff has mischaracterized any of the summary responses or actions, please respond back to the list. If we're lucky, we should be able to get through the remaining comments today. And just like last week, we'll send out an updated version that the group can edit. And then hopefully by the next call, we'll go back to the final report. Any questions or comments before I move on to number 15? Hearing and seeing none. Thank you, Graham. Still on his action, still on the list, which again is more in the report itself, not so much this particular document in the AC room. And everybody does have scroll control, as I'll be reading off on the actual Word document version. So we'll move on to comment 15, which is from Amr. He's part of the NCSG, and just as a reminder, the NCSG did submit, it was kind of a late comment, although there wasn't substance other than to say that they supported what Amr had submitted to this group through the public comment forum. And so I'll just start off with that. Basically, I thank the members for the working group and staff supporting that have done to meet the requirements set forth in the charter, as well as the opportunity to have the comments submitted and considered prior to publication for the final report. In principle, he fully supports the notion of the GNSO improving PDPs by using empirical data while considering the intentions and implications of policies being developed. Furthermore, and as the working group has noted, metrics and quantitative analysis of data can be very useful in helping to determine the extent to which a previously developed policy is meeting its desired goal or not. Having said that, he has following comments that get a little bit more in detail. And for the group, just like I have with other comments, we tried to separate these out in rows based on the type of topic or issue that they were specifically drawing attention to. So for number 15, I think in general this would just be tagged as agreement. The response will be thank you for this particular comment, and there would be no action taken in regards to this particular number 15. So with that, I'll go ahead and move on to 16, which is also by Ammer. I believe this was the last comment of what he had submitted, and then other two or three comments that he submitted were more specific to the topic, which we'll get to in the subsequent tables below. It just basically mentions that finally, at no point in the DMPM working group's initial report or even in the metrics request decision tree is a critical appraisal of the collected data mentioned. Any quantitative analysis of data should be subject to transparent methods of assessment prior to putting it to use for the purpose of evidence-based policy development. This could be done during the public comment period for a preliminary issue report, or perhaps during the PDP working group deliberations. An example where this may be constructive is determining the appropriateness of methods used for data collection. Was the data collected using an established reliable system? Are the data element samples geographically temporarily representative of the study subject, which may be impacted by a policy being developed? Or was the selection of study subjects or controls, if applicable, biased, resulting in an inability to generalize the results? These are simple example questions that need to be answered before determining the extent to which data and metrics are usable in PDP working groups. So with that, I'll open it up for comments or any feedback based on this.
Barry, Jonathan.
Yep, please.
I guess my initial reaction to this is that these are questions that are more often applied to studies that are commissioned, like the Who is Data Accuracy study or the recent survey effort that was launched by the CCT Implementation Advisory Group, and less about just getting access to raw data. We might be able to come up with a list of some subset of these questions, but most of these things about bias and things like that, I think, are more often about, if we were going to go out and conduct some kind of a survey, more so than the types of data that we're envisioning using in our recommendations.
Thank you, Jonathan. This is Barry. I would add to that I think some of the questions that are being answered here, and perhaps it's just implied by our work and not necessarily spelt out in the deliverables that the group has created. But I'm hopeful, and maybe we do need to document it some way, that some of these questions would be considered regardless of the data exercise. So I guess as an example, if there was a request to, I'm going to go back to my one about transfer data. Let's just assume that there was a request to acquire transfer data of some sort. Certainly, we would want to avoid the biases where possible. As Graham had mentioned, we would want to take into account different business models that may or may not apply to the data being requested and components like that.
Right. So, I guess we could update the recommendations as part of the data request thing to look at the type of data, to ask some questions about the type of data we're trying to request. I don't think in each case we're going to commission some kind of a study of the data after the fact, but maybe as part of the request process, we make some assessments about what would constitute appropriate data in the metrics request decision tree that's mentioned in the comments.
Thank you, Jonathan. And I guess, something that I think I'm keying on here is it was something about I'm sorry, I'm just reading through it again. But basically, it almost kind of seems like Amr's comment is after the fact that data has been collected, to ensure that before it is used in any critical decision point along the policy process, whether it be at the council or the working group level, that, some of these aspects are taken into consideration. But I do agree that perhaps we could strengthen, one or two of the recommendations or at least either the decision tree or the request form that has some of the requirements to kind of preload some of these questions to be considered by the requester at that point in time. And Tony, I see your hand is raised.
Yeah, Barry, thanks. It's Tony for the record. I agree with that. I mean, my sense here would be to put something in the decision tree, just a pause point for the working group to ask itself whether the data that has been collected in the particular circumstances that they're addressing, whether there's any reason for it to be diminished in its value, or if there's any aspect of the data that is troubling to the working group. I mean, I appreciate everything that's being asked here, but this is sort of an ideal that I don't think that there's any solution to it. There's never going to be a solution to, in the sense that data is collected. There has to be some ability to allow the expertise and the clear thinking of the working group to assess whether or not the data it has received is actually going to be particularly relevant or persuasive given the question they're trying to answer. There's a human element to it, I guess is what I'm trying to say, which I think is best served by maybe just putting something in the decision tree. It's just to ask the working group to basically note in its record whether or not there are any questions about the data that have been raised that cause it to be either more or less valuable for its own purposes. But I think we've already built that in, is sort of what I'm saying. There's not always going to be a need for geographically or temporally representative data. There isn't always going to be that sort of need. And if it comes back that it's biased by virtue of the fact that you hold only data from one provider or one particular segment of the provider community was received, then that should be noted. And down the line, if questions are raised about a decision that's made based on that data, the working group can acknowledge that it made disclosure that it looked at the data and treated it with a appropriate weight in this sense. So, anyway.
Thank you, Tony. And I guess to the extreme is, should that data be viewed by the group, or if there was a lack of consensus about the quality of the data, it could practically be tossed out and either go back to the drawing board to find different data, or, you know, basically there's an endpoint or a disposal mechanism as to whether it's used appropriately for working group deliberations or it didn't meet certain criteria or standards and was discarded and not really considered.
Agreed. Again, it's Tony, I would put perhaps one, put a certain element into the decision tree for the working group's assessment of the data and into the working group report, essentially a bullet on were any considerations about the data raised that needed to be addressed by the working group. And I think that that's my sense on the appropriate way to handle it.
Right. Thank you. And so I think I have enough of the dialogue to at least formulate the first response and action taken. I'll kind of keep it in a general just to take this as a concept as we review the next version of the final report. Any other comments about number 16? Okay, moving along to 17. This was from the ALAC. They appreciate the need for solutions that will improve the way in which consensus policies are developed, especially in relation to critical registrant, registry, registrar issues. It's desirable that these issues are addressed within an open and transparent working culture, as well as an environment where data is collected in a confidential and anonymous manner. Subsequently, this will encourage better informed, fact-based policy development and decision-making. It's important that all parties involved in GNSO decision-making recognize the benefits and value of relevant baseline data and metrics to the policy development process, especially at the initial stages of scoping, understanding, and describing a problem or issue. In order to assure engagement of all parties in the new process, the ALAC supports the possible need to employ an independent third party in order to address any concerns relating to the collection, anonymization, or aggregation of data. Fact-based deliberations and decision-making will enable the appropriate prioritization and critical issues based on tangible evidence rather than gut feeling or anecdotal examples. And I'll open this up. For the most part, I think this is pretty much an agreement statement, and I'm not recognizing any specific action as it relates to our report, other than to just note that much of what was talked about seemed to focus around our first recommendation, which is the pilot effort. Any
it
comments?
Is an agreement statement. It's Cheryl here. It is an agreement statement indeed.
Thank you, Cheryl. Any other comments or suggestions? Hearing and seeing none, move on to number 18, which is from the NCSG. So I lied to the group. I thought we already went over this one, but we didn't yet. And the reason why I thought for it is because I took the liberty of classifying it as an agreement in general and referring anybody that reads this report tool to refer back to Amr's comments. So if there's no concerns with this one, we can go ahead and move on to number 19. Oh, there isn't a number 19, so we're moving into more of our detailed. For those that are following in the Adobe Connect room, you should be on page 15. It's the second table labeled as Charter and Final Report Templates. And I believe we have four or five of these. Six total. The first one is from Google. This is to clearly define objectives at the start of the PDP process by stating deficiencies or desired improvements in the chartering stage. Google strongly supports the recommendation to include key metric considerations at the chartering stage of the PDP because the PDP may have multiple interrelated objectives and phases. We recommend that the template provided in Annex A be augmented to clearly and specifically define the issue or prospective improvement associated with the metric. By way of example, for the recent inter-registrar policy IRTP Part C recommendations, a reduction of the number of emergency reversals could have been used as a key metric tied to the goal of reverse domain name hijacking. Tying prospective improvements to tangible metrics will improve the definition of the PDP objectives and associated success indicators and better target PDP-related work. In addition to including criteria that define the success of the policy effort, the working group may wish to consider updating the template in Annex A to distinguish between key metrics that relate to measuring the effect of the policy and data elements that the working group itself may find useful during the policy development process. And I'll open the floor for comments.
This is Jonathan. I think, again, this is largely an agreement statement, I'm not sure that these might be somewhat I don't know what that distinction looks like that they're mentioning at the end, that there's data that we might just find useful versus data we might use to measure the effects of policy, because I think how we're defining the problem is through a certain set of data, and then the metrics are what we're coming up with as what we'd like that same data to look like in the future. So I mean those are the key metrics is changes we'd like to see to the data that was used to define the problem. And I guess we could write that down, but I mean I think that's really the distinction. I doubt very much there's going to be data that we get just to inform the group and that isn't used as part of the metrics.
Maybe that's
just a point of clarity.
This is Barry. I guess in some respect, at least, you know, in terms of how the charter is structured, or our draft suggestions, you know, it is kind of divided about the section of the key metric considerations, and again, perhaps maybe we need to make this more clear, what is really centered around what metrics and data that a group could use for its deliberations, and then, of course, then we have it separated out further that should the group come up with any recommendations and should they be adopted by the council and eventually implemented, what are some of those metrics that will gauge success? And that's kind of the takeaway that I kind of got from the comment that there needed to be this kind of distinction between the two, but perhaps we need to make that just a little bit more clear.
Okay. I mean, maybe we can take a look at how to make that clear. I guess I feel like this is what we were attempting to do. I mean, you know, the measures, the cross tabulations associated with the data in the research phase of this define the number of, for example, once we decide that the number of emergency transfers is a measure, a way to measure, emergency reversals is a way to measure domain name hijackings, then that number is identified as being a bad number now that could be a better number in the future. But I guess in theory, the problem could be defined by one metric in the we could be coming up with some indirect way of solving the problem. But again, I think that we're going to do our very best to define the metrics around the same metrics that were used to define the metrics of success around the same metrics that were used to define the problem in the first place.
Thank you, John. Is it agreed? It's the raw data of current state that is rolled up into some sort of report that describes that better describes the issue that is being experienced today, and to provide a picture of some sort behind that. Then some sort of recommendation is provided that will change it. And I guess the one use case that we reviewed very early on was domain tasting. And, that was a significant move of the needle. And that group did, in fact, have data up front that showed that there was a high degree of that activity in the early stages. They made a policy change, and then it was measured after the fact that dramatically, I don't remember the exact number, but it was extremely significant change of activity afterwards. I suspect that the only thing that probably wasn't applied in that old use case and maybe is something that we could add to as in a suggestion or a hints and tips is to try to set some sort of benchmark. So, for example, as it relates to the comment here with Google that if it was reverse domain name hijacking and the group proposed some sort of policy change, that they would expect to see an 80% difference from current state to future state. So perhaps we could try to provide some language in the report in that regard. But at the same time, I think that's kind of a little risky because it's pretty hard to predict a target such as that in the abstract until you actually see it in practice. All right. Any other comments in regards to number one?
Well, let's try some language like that, Barry. I think that's good. I'm not afraid of us trying to predict an outcome. That was the entire CCP exercise, right?
Correct.
These are the kinds of numbers, delta, that we're looking for. So, I think that's reasonable to expect of a work group.
All right. Hearing and seeing nothing else, moving on to number two, also by Google, is provide expanded recommendations for the use of data following the conclusion of a PDP. They strongly support recommendation 4, which proposes to include additional recommendation that measures whether the policy change produced the intended effect. However, while guidelines how data and metrics will be requested during the early phases of the PDP are captured in relative detail within the initial report and supported by available documentation, little information is provided about the process for using data and metrics to support policymaking following the conclusion of a PDP. They recommend that minimum studies be performed for the indicators set forth in the charter's key metric considerations to allow assessments of whether a policy process achieved its intended aims and where deficiencies exist, attempt to isolate the gaps or flaws in the PDP process that produced them. Data garnered from such studies could be used to improve future PDP work, both substantively and identifying issues requiring future work, and procedurally by forcing a critical look at elements of the PDP that may have produced undesirable, inadequate, or unintended outcomes. So before I open up the floor, my takeaway from this comment is very similar to the previous one, that perhaps we weren't being clear enough in making a distinction within the charter template that most of the key metric considerations were more focused around the group's deliberations and not necessarily associated with trying to measure the success of implementation afterwards. And I think if we maybe kind of refer back to the action of the previous one at taking a look at that, or trying to clarify the distinction between the two, that might be satisfactory in terms of responding to this comment. So I'll open up the floor.
Barry, this is Jonathan. I think that makes sense. I mean, it's probably worth noting that if there's costs associated with getting the data to identify the problem, there'll be similar costs associated with getting updated data downstream. And so that same process of going in and making that request will probably have to be part of the recommendation that a working group makes for the continuous improvement.
Great. Yes, understood. Thank you. All right. Seeing no hands, hearing no voices, so we'll move on to number three, which is from the business constituency. They support the recommendation to include key metric considerations at the chartering stage of the PDP, as a PDP may have numerous objectives and phases. I really won't read the rest of this because it's basically a cut and paste from the prior comment. If anyone disagrees with my assessment, please speak up. I think this is what we ran into last week as well. So I'll move on to comment number four. The ISPCP supports the creation of the working group product templates, including updates to the GNSO's operating procedures and working group guidelines, as well as an update to the charter template to assist drafting teams and determining key metrics to be used to meet the goals of the resolving issues. From my perspective, that sounds like agreement and no required action. Hearing and seeing none, Tony did type in the chat, agreement it is. Moving on to comment number five, section 5.3.5.1, third bullet observed that, for instance, the charter template could require that working groups identify a set of baseline data that should be captured to allow for the community to determine if a set of recommendations was effective or not. It's important to note here that collection of data and analyzing it quantitatively cannot be the sole determinant of whether or not a set of policy recommendations is effective. Qualitative research methods play an important role in informing a discussion during policy development and may very well also play a role in measuring its success post-implementation. Although addressing the means by which qualitative research methods may be useful to the GNSO in policy development, it's not strictly within the scope of this working group, citing the advantage of using quantitative analysis should not be expressed as an absolute detriment of the success or failure of a policy recommendation. Qualitative methods of research often uncover compelling considerations to be taken account of that may not hold any statistical significance in quantitative analysis. The red line text in Section 9 of the PDP manual suggested by the DMPM takes this into account nicely. This should also be reflected in relevant parts of the working group final report and recommendations. So I'll open up for comments. I think for the most part, it is an agreement, especially calling out that notion of the PDP manual. I can just make a highlight that we review that language in there, and perhaps some of that can be added into parts of Section 5 and as it relates to the observations of the working group. But it is certainly something that we've discussed, and I believe Google had also touched on this aspect of well of qualitative analysis or the use of qualitative data and its analysis. And if I recall correctly, the group mostly concluded that there's already a fair amount of that today. It may not necessarily be documented anywhere, but when you do review the beginning and end of the policy development process, there are many components through that process that touch upon the qualitative components. And Jonathan responding in the chat that we've included language about this, and it's not like we're recommending doing away with subjective measurements. Or maybe not so much subjective, but at least qualitative. All right, moving on to number six, which is from the ALAC, supports the revision of the templates for the issue report, charter, and final report to update working group guidelines, and also the development of the decision tree. The changes will help determine the best avenue to request additional data and metrics. Development of the PDP manual, which will include the metrics request tree and form, will ensure consistency of both process and practice. So I do believe that this one's in agreement as well. No direct action taken. But I did want to bring up just something real quick in this note, and I don't think it necessarily needs adjusting in the final report or anything. I am kind of curious how, after the pilot effort, that these instruments get used, such as the request form and the decision tree, and how they may be updated. Certainly, there is a formal process by which the working group guidelines and the like are updated. Once this is implemented, this group will more or less be sunset or closed down. And should we mid-stride during the pilot effort realize that something needs to be included or something needs to be updated? I don't know that we've necessarily touched on that in detail. I think in general, since the guidelines will be updated once we've completed the completion of the templates, we could probably pass it to the SCI to try to fast track any updates, of course, which would have to go through a public comment period. So I guess the point that I'm trying to make here is that any updates that we react to based on our experiences in the pilot effort may be a little slower than we might anticipate should we encounter something like that. And I see agreement from Jonathan in the chat. So, all right, thank you. All right, let's move on. We're on to the next table, which is the pilot effort itself. And we have three comments. The first comment is from Google. Rescope the proposed pilot study to ensure that it advances real community objectives while minimizing associated costs. While we support the general concept of a pilot study to observe the application of data on ongoing policy processes, further scoping work is required to ensure that the effort expended advances real GNSO community objectives as well as to minimize cost. To these ends, we propose two specific modifications to the proposed pilot effort. First, to the extent possible, pilot study should focus on ongoing efforts that can be supported by data that is publicly available or that is readily accessible at low cost. This change to the pilot study would minimize cost and delays associated with appointing a third-party provider and procuring data while still providing a sound early assessment of how data could be used to support policy making. And then secondarily, they recommend that the pilot study focus on efforts that are occurring at the GNSO level as opposed to requests that come from a particular SO or AC to ensure that additional resources leveraged in data collection analysis are supporting projects and initiative for which there is general support within the GNSO. Before I open up the floor, I think if it wasn't Google, it was somebody else that basically had touched upon this, their first recommendation. I believe we have an action from prior comments to kind of create a hints and tips section of the request form or the charter. I can't remember which one, but it was basically listing out what current publicly available free sources for groups to consider, and we might also highlight what some paid sources might be, but at least it gives a direction or kind of an initial shopping cart but from which to choose from. And most certainly, I feel confident within the process that we've mapped out that any request that's submitted from a working group or from a stakeholder group or constituency would be scrutinized to some degree either by the council and or by staff before we just before the checkbook is just opened up to willy-nilly pay for something. So I feel confident that in terms of trying to be cost conscious about these types of requests is inherent in what we've developed here. And then secondarily, I think we've also mentioned, and perhaps we need to review the report, but the scope of the pilot effort is only really SGs and Cs within the GNSO, and most certainly within issues that are relevant to the GNSO and the GPLD's environment in general. And in the chat, I see from Jonathan, Graham has to drop. Thank you, Graham, for joining. Jonathan mentioned we don't have a way to do that, but then follows up that, yes, about reducing costs, et cetera, but scoping is so hard for us to do generically.
I can speak, too. I was just trying to get down thoughts while you were in response to what you were saying. I mean, I guess my point is that I agree with you completely that the process by which the funds would be authorized will act as a kind of safeguard against this, but I think the comment presupposes that a particular work group interested in data on something wouldn't still be useful because it's often going to, I mean, a particular like AC or SO wouldn't be useful. But, I mean, I think what we envisioned for this pilot effort was that a group was an advocate of getting a policy development process started on something, and the use of data would help to bolster or mitigate their claim. And so, I mean, I almost have the opposite feeling of this comment, which is that if, you know, I'm the IPC and I believe that, you know, there's an issue to be, you know, to be discovered out of compliance or something like that, and I've got just a hunch about it, instead of going and making my case based on a hunch, I make use of this pilot project and actually come with numbers or let those numbers reveal to me that the scope of the problem isn't what I thought it was.
Thank you,
John.
Does that
make sense, or am I?
It makes sense to me. And there's agreement by Tony as well. And I suspect if Cheryl was in the AC room, she would apply a green checking mark.
Indeed, you are channeling me perfectly. Well done.
Right. Thank you, Cheryl.
So that may be an instance in which we give a response that's a little bit more a disagreement with their comment as opposed to just explanatory, I guess. I don't know. But maybe it's just explanation that the whole idea would be to prevent going down a path for which there wasn't a significant need, and that need could be revealed by data, or the lack of need could be revealed by data.
Correct. Thank you, John. I'll be sure to capture that in the draft response and probably kind of cover both sides of that coin. All right, moving on to the next one, which is from the ISPCP. They believe in particular issue is vitally important to the future of ICANN to determine accountability and to encourage responsible decision-making. They support a process to better inform fact-based policy development and decision-making through the sharing of metrics and data. The ISPCP is enthusiastically supports the initiation of a pilot effort whereby the GNSO community at the early stages of policy development process can submit tactical size requests for data and metrics to assist in validation of issues or to better inform policy deliberations. They would see value in the pilot and be happy to engage in it and provide actionable feedback to it. So in short, that seems like agreement and no action against the current draft of the report. Last comment for this section is from the ALAC, which supports the introduction of a pilot where working groups will be able to submit proposals or ideas whereby the collection and assessment of fact-based data and metrics can become the basis for the initial identification and analysis of issues and or problems. They also support the view that any funding required to implement the pilot should be considered an investment in the improvement of the policy process rather than just a cost against budget. And
Hey, Alex.
I'm sorry, Jonathan?
I just said, yay, Alex.
Oh. So I'm taking that as agreement as well from the ALAC. All right, so we'll move on to the metrics request form. There's only one comment here, and this is from Amr. The suggested language of Section 4.5 of the GNSO operating procedures detailing working groups metrics request form only indicates the procedures for requesting data and metrics. There is no indication in the proposed changes to the operating procedures or the metrics request tree that prior to aggregation of data, there is any requirement for the chartering organization or the GNSO Council, to be specific, to approve the request. Considering the potential cost of both time and funds at the issue scoping phase or during the PDP working group phase, it may be worthwhile to consider whether or not the chartering organization should play a role in determining the extent to which the issue be solved in the working group metrics request form warrants such delays cost. Clarification on a process to approve a submitted working group metrics request form which should be ideally included in the final report. I'm starting to scroll down on my own within the report, and I thought that we had, the way I see it from the request form, that we do have two decisions acting as a gating factor, really from both sides. The first, and maybe it's not so clear who is doing the deciding, and perhaps maybe, I don't know that it would warrant to put this into a decision or into a swim lane version of the process diagram or the decision tree, but there is a decision about whether the budget is approved on a particular request. I think perhaps we in the group had implied that would be, the GNSO Council and or staff. So perhaps a call out on that particular decision box would be helpful. Without a doubt, I see that every one of these requests will be going to the GNSO Council. I don't foresee a formal resolution on any of these being necessary, other than to keep the council informed of the request as they work with it with staff. But to the comment from Amr in general, then there's kind of a secondary decision based on the parties that might be on the requesting end of the request, which is in kind of a case of if a contracted party and or third party provider can't provide the data or is unable to provide the data, that there is that option out, and perhaps that probably needs to be highlighted as well. So I think in general or in closing that we could probably highlight the decision tree a little bit better, maybe perhaps add something to the metrics request form that will basically state that this needs to go through the GNSO Council once it's submitted. And I'll open up the floor.
There, it's Jonathan. I think that makes sense. I mean, obviously the danger here is that we end up with a subjective refusal to collect data to objectively identify whether there's a problem. In a real life situation, it could be that the requester, makes a hypothetical that we think the data will show X, and that if it does, then the you know, so council could maybe decide whether or not that outcome was worth the cost or something like that. That if it showed that problem, is that problem impactful enough? But I mean, obviously, you don't want a situation where, you know, people are saying, I don't think that's a problem, you know, as a response to whether or not to collect data about it.
Agreed. Thank you. And again, you know, I at least at this stage, while there is, you know, much more anticipation that this become a cultural change, certainly what we'll be dealing with is the pilot effort itself. And I suspect that there will be valuable lessons learned out of that process and some of the outcomes that occur with it.
Makes sense.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to the very last one, which is early outreach. This is also submitted by the ALAC, establishing a framework for distributing information through early outreach to other SOs and ACs and related organizations will facilitate broader qualitative input and support a culture of collaboration between our organizations. This will not only contribute to continuous improvement being fully integrated into the PDP, but also encourage the potential of an open data culture across ICANN. And I'm going out on a limb here, but this sounds like this is in agreement with the recommendation.
Just a bit of a yay thing, yeah.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Yeah, it's Jonathan. I guess the one caveat, obviously, is that there are some holders of data that are a little concerned about the terminology of open data across ICANN. So, I mean, I don't know if they would reject to based on these comments, but we just need to be careful the terms we use, since a lot of the data is considered to be a lot of the data in question is considered to be commercially important. So, we want to not create a slippery slope into making a recommendation for open data. Because that will make some of the people from whom we would be requesting data nervous.
Jonathan, I think that's understood, and it's probably just a terminology. Perhaps reading it as openness in data might be easier. But, yes, the classic definition of open data would probably terrify a few data holders in the mix. But you'll also note that the earlier comments from ALAC were very much along the lines of the anonymisation and the removal of commercial and confidence issues from the data set. So.
Well, right, Cheryl, and I think that's right. The anonymisation of data doesn't necessarily remove the commercial utility of data. It removes the privacy implications, but, I mean, again, if people are making valuable data available, even in an anonymized form, that they're the only ones in possession of, a really big registrar or something like that, might be willing to share it for the working group, but not want to share it, you know, more generally, if that data has innate value. That's all.
I think we always recognize that some things will have to be continually labeled commercial in confidence.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
I think we're agreeing violently, Barry.
Yes, and just for the sake of caution, I'll note an action just to review through the report that we aren't making a reference to open data, as we just kind of discussed, just to be safe. All right, so that takes us through all the comments. That was fairly painless, in my opinion, exceeded expectations about what this group might get back from the community. So I think that's a positive outcome given, you know, our very small group of help from the community here. So with that, as I mentioned at the beginning of the call, I'll go through the transcript, create draft responses and actions, and make sure those are appropriately highlighted and do the best we can to make sure that connection is maintained and highlighted in the next version of the final report. once this is sent out to the list, again, please review through them, make sure we characterize the responses and actions appropriately, and as well as begin to review the final report. And we'll have a call next Tuesday at the same time, 21 UTC, and we'll start to discuss what those changes may look like. And I kind of envision just kind of starting at the top of the document again, and we'll just review through each one of the call-out comments and discuss how any language should be potentially changed. And hopefully we'll also get some feedback from Graham from his homework assignment as well.
So, Barry, just Cheryl here on next Tuesday's meeting. I probably won't have landed or cleared customs at the time of the call, so please note my apologies in advance. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Cheryl. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Jonathan, for closing comments, and I think we can probably close this at the top of the hour.
Okay. Well, I mean, I like you, am excited that we got the level of public participation that we did. Google and others, I think it's great that we got these reactions even from people that didn't participate in our group, and I feel like that for the most part they really affirm that we're on the right track for what we're doing. So let's keep at it and get this in front of the council. So I'll see everybody next week, except for Cheryl.
All right, great. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.